Gospels. Now this, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We had some of the ushers have Bibles there. They can share it with one with you. We were teaching last Wednesday night, on kingdom dominion. And my desire is to do more with that tonight. But part of what I'm going to teach right now concerning a message of increase is really a part of that. It's a part of that. So just understand that. I don't know how we can do this because I want to maybe link these two together and put it on one CD if we can do that, and so I can kind of keep it down. I'll try to keep it down. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I think what I'll do is kind of, well, there's two different things, and they're really linked together, but Romans chapter 12. Let me just kind of hear the Holy Ghost here, see how I can do this. Okay, let me try it here. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Give you praise for it. Thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay, that I may speak forth its word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. In Jesus' name, can you agree by saying amen?
Amen.
All right, now, he says here in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Last time we talked about kingdom dominion. And this dominion that we're talking about here was brought out also we went to Genesis chapter 1, where he said to Adam, he said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now that dominion, I took it out of several teachings, And I like what Dr. Frederick Casey Price, how he defines dominion there. He says, it means lordship, rulership, oversight, caretakership, and ownership. So basically, he gave mankind ownership or this oversight, rulership, lordship over the entire earth. And that book's comes out of his book on positive, the power of positive confession. It means basically that mankind was in charge of the earth, Now, Adam had that position, and he was operating on the level, basically, on the level of his creator. When I say that, I mean he was in his class, and he had the mind of God. Now, you know, because he came out of God, he had the same DNA as God, and God operated, made him, designed him, that he could talk, walk and talk with God. So that tells me that he had to have an intelligence that was on a level that he could walk and talk with God. You with me? Okay. All right, so now here's Adam, and he's calling animals and giving them names and so forth. And so all this thing is working for him now. So now, Adam now violates the plan of God, and he eats from the tree of forbidden fruit, and now he falls, and he fell. And what we said is that his mind fell also, because now he ran and tried to hide from God. And you know, anybody try to hide from God has basically lost their mind. And so now he is no longer can commune with God. Put something right there, please. And if you go over with me to Isaiah 55, let's just look at that. Isaiah 55. Now in Isaiah 55, he makes a statement here. Is that verse 7. I'll start there. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So he's fallen now, and now his thoughts are not God's thoughts. All right. Now understand where he fell from. Adam fell from a place of operating on the level of God. And that is the level of what we call the supernatural. So the supernatural was natural to Adam. The supernatural was home for him. Okay? And so here is a man that he's fallen, and he's fallen from that place, and some people say he fell down to a place called common sense. And so now he has fallen down into this kingdom, into this place of the kingdom. And okay, that's right. And fallen into this place of the kingdom of darkness, because Satan now has become ruler over this world. And Adam has fallen now into a place where Satan has now ruling him, ruling the earth, ruling him. He became the god of this world, little g. And the god of this world is that he took Adam's place. So Adam gave up his spot to the enemy. Stay here. This is going to be good tonight. All right. Now, this part that Adam fell to, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 very quickly. All right. Genesis chapter 3. And if you look, one of the first manifestations of the curse was poverty and lack. Okay? Now, here, because Adam fell in this garden, now the curse has come, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. Let's see. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall you eat bread all the days of your life, until you return to the ground. So now, he would eat of the earth all the days of his life through sweat, and in sorrow shall you eat. Sorrow translates painful toil. Now just sit here. I know you know some of this, but we're going to know it this time so we can operate in it. All right? So painful toil. So the earth would produce now thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of his brow would he eat or find provision. Now before, he didn't have to, because all that was provided for him, the Father had provided. Now provisions are necessary for everything we do, whether you're in ministry and business, whether you're raising a family, whatever, it takes money. And provision means just that, provision, meaning that the vision is not coming to pass unless you have some pro. Did you follow what I just said there? I mean, this provision is necessary for the vision. That's why it's called provision. All right? Now, Adam lost his provision, so now he has become a survivor. And now he's running every day after provision. And Jesus said that the unbeliever runs after provision. Coming over to Matthew chapter 6, please. Let me know when you get there. He says here, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Then he goes and says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink. He goes on down in verse 28 and says, why take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. And goes in verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which tomorrow is and cast into the oven tomorrow, shall he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles run after. Got it? Now, they spend all their time in their life trying to find things, trying to get enough provision so that they could stop running. What we call that stop running is a rest or Sabbath. It's the day of rest. Now, and God instituted that in Exodus chapter 16. So now what he's doing, because he's fallen, all of his decisions are basically coming based on that same thinking. Where am I going to get some provision? How can I do this? So forth and so on. So what Adam had is an assignment. What you and I have is assignment. One of the most popular things out there today still is, what is my purpose? What am I here for? So forth. Because people know there's a purpose for their life. But the idea about it is that it's hard to hear God when you're preoccupied with provision. when money is on your mind all the time, it clouds the purpose sometimes for God working in your life or what he's made you for and so forth. So people end up trying to be something that'll make them a lot of money, they think, rather than be what God purposed them to be in this earth. Now, I know you know some of this, but I'm going somewhere with it. So, we now, Adam, who had an assignment, of course, and it was to do the will of the Father in the Father's kingdom. So, now the main assignment in people's lives, in their mind, is I got to get enough to eat. I got to get enough to drink, so forth and so on, put on housing, whatever have you. Now, Jesus came teaching another kingdom. Now, remember what I said, that mankind fell to this demonic kingdom. And Jesus came, and one of the first things he said is verse 24, a man cannot serve two masters. So he is saying that a person can only serve one master. And the one master people are going to serve is the one who meets their needs. I really believe that causes problems today in the household. Now, this is Winston here. I'm just giving you my editorial, all right? I haven't validated this with nothing. This is just my opinion. I think sometimes what has happened in the household, because now you have two people working, because of this particular verse, that people are going to serve the one who meets their needs. If they don't know the Father and they don't know these principles, that's why many times people, even in church, still see that job as their source and not God, not the master. So I'm only saying that two people in the house, and I've heard it in conversations, in counseling, and so forth, because she's working, sometimes she's working and making more money than him. Well, I'm dabbling there. I know this is an interesting attitude takes over. See, because you're going to start serving the one who meets your needs. See, the man used to be called the breadwinner. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to now? Used to be called that. Because it used to be that she was his help. If they had kids, she would stay and take care of the kids and so forth. But today, you know, they go everywhere, you know, and TV takes care of them. But now this is true. There's a lot of this is true. Because they're all working. Everybody tired, and they come home, and everybody's mad, and the dog's biting everybody because he's mad. So we're in a strange time here. See, so once the church come in and we learn these truths, we got to come back to that. And that's why around the table we say, Father, we thank you for these provisions. See, because we're letting the children know, hey, even though I'm out working, I am not the source of all of this. That's what we're doing. That's why we do that, see? But people who don't do that, the kids think they're the source. So they're going to end up serving the one that meets their needs. All right, I've said enough about that. So this, no matter how many songs people sing and so forth like that, who do they see as their source? Who really is the one? So Jesus comes now, and he's talking about, again, another kingdom. He's talking about now this separate kingdom that Adam fell from, that Jesus came from, to bring people back up to that place of the kingdom, of living. And no longer do they need to run after the things of life, but now the Father will feed you. Got it? All right. So he said down in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these what? Things will be what? Added to you. You won't have to run after them. They're going to be added to you. Are you with me? No. Why? Because he's opening their eyes to the beginning again. To the beginning was Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. All right? So let them have ownership. So he's bringing them back to the fact that, wait a minute, these things are already yours. You're not going to have to struggle. You're not going to have to hope that somebody gives you something because it belongs. No, no, they're already yours. Everything is already yours. And what I did is I went in here and I said, well, let me pull out some scriptures that will verify the fact that these things are already ours. Because he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And then he said, be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. So if I can give you some new thoughts, remember what I said on Sunday. I said that this man said that one of the ways of changing a person would be through knowledge and teaching, that it would change them. But one of the quickest ways to change a person almost supernaturally is to change their paradigm. And if you change the way they even see life, that they'll process things a whole lot differently. Are you with me here? All right, so I'm saying that one of the things we have to do is change who we are, the identity of who we are in this earth, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as a result of that, he said over in Romans chapter 8, that we are joint heirs with him. That means that we have inherited, as a matter of fact, I put some down here in the Amplified, it says, and if we are children, then we are heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. That's what the Amplified says. We are sharing his inheritance with him. Now, that's just one scripture. Another scripture is found over in Galatians. Do you want to turn to some of this? Galatians chapter 4. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, understand, he's comparing two kingdoms, and if you go all the way down there, you'll see time and time again how he's putting these two kingdoms in perspective and showing you what the best kingdom is. And he's demonstrating in that kingdom to let people know the power of that kingdom. Now, look what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So let's read it now out of the Amplified because it gives us another degree of clarity. Now, what I mean is this, is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and under age, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. In other words, you own the entire estate. You got to process that now. You own the entire estate. Now that I didn't say that. The Bible said this. I said either we're going to have to believe God or we're going to have to believe the lies of the devil. Now I'm going to believe God. I believe God says that I own the entire estate. And if he said that, then I own the entire estate. Look what he says also over in Luke chapter 15. Come over there, please. Luke chapter 15. You said you wanted to turn to him, so I'm going to show him to you. Luke chapter 15. Glory to God. Now, this is a prodigal son. He went away. He spent all he had in his inheritance, lost everything. And then he said, I think I'll go home to my father because there's plenty provision in my father's house. So I'm going home. And he came home. The father saw him a long ways off. He ran, hugged him, and kissed him. And he said, my son who was dead is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And he said, put shoes on his feet, a robe on him, and ring on his finger, and kill a fatted calf. Let's celebrate. The elder brother was outside, and he was coming in, and he heard that the noise and celebration. He said, what's going on? One of the servants said, your brother who is lost, he's coming home, and they're giving a party for him. And he said, now, wait a minute. And so the father came out and entreated him, said, son, why don't you come on in and join us for the celebration? He said, wait a minute. You mean all these days I've worked for you and so forth and so on, and you've not ever given me a celebration? Yet when this boy comes home who's been living with harlots and so forth, you're going to give him a celebration? Let's look what the father says in verse 31 of Luke chapter 15. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, this is God showing you that once you got born again, you came into all the inheritance that God has ever put here in this earth, and all that he has is thine. Now, folks, here's what I use. When God told Israel, go into Canaan, and I've given you that land. Now, what did Canaan represent? It represent the promises of God. It also represent the best of God. It represented the rest of God, because they were going to need faith to do it, and faith is a rest. So they were going to get that land not by their own strength, but by the grace and the power and the faith of God. You follow what I'm saying? So they went in there to take it. Now understand, in there they had their own communities. They had their own cities. I'm talking about they had a courthouse downtown that had this land deeded to Mr. Jones. But it didn't matter with God. God said, I've given that land to you. Now you go in there and I will deliver it to you. Say amen to that. Now, I'm not saying be mean and so forth, and my name is Jimmy, and I'll get all you give me, but you have to understand that if there's anything good about it, anything that you need concerning it, that you have a right to it. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, another one was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at that one very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. I got to whip through this now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Hello. Look what he says here in verse 21. Therefore, this is Paul talking, let no man glory in men. Glory to God. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, these are the ministry gifts, they are yours. Whether the world, whether life, whether death, death is yours, meaning that death can't tell you what to do. You tell death what to do. Got it? Or things present or things to come, all are yours. Watch this. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So dominion, we said, means lordship, rulership, oversight. It means caretakership and ownership. So let's go now to the next place. So what we were establishing in there is God says, seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness and all these what? Things shall be added to you. Who do the things belong to? You. They belong to you. They will be added to you. And they are being held now by people they don't legally belong to. But they're going to be added to you. Say amen to this. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, please. Proverbs chapter 10. Now, I'm telling you, as he said in his righteousness, righteous are as bold as a lion. So you're going to have to be kind of bold here to even confess this. Other than that, you'll be some, weak, watered down, cookie. And I praise the Lord. No. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise God. All right. Now, look what it says here. Remember what I said. You don't have a money issue. What did I say? You have a faith issue because they're already yours. He said, oh, ye of little faith. He didn't say, oh, ye of little money. He said, oh, ye of little faith. It's faith issue. Don't forget that. Because if you come to the other side, you're coming in unbelief. Because it's already yours. You can't ask God for something that's already yours. That is not legal, folks. You can't do that. You got to claim it. All right, look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 10. He said in verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. All right, I want to read another translation. The blessing of the Lord maketh well supplied. That's one translation. Another translation, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he addeth no sorrow or no toil with it. The blessing of the Lord, let's take that one, brings wealth, and God adds no toil with it. The Hebrew for sorrow is painful toil. All right. Now, the blessing is not your car. The blessing is not your house. The blessing is not your new outfit. The blessing is the covenant. That's important for where I'm going. The blessing is the covenant. You are you with me now? All right. So if we look at this, let's look at it and let me read it like this. The covenant of God overrides the curse. Glory to God. And addeth no painful toil with it. Got it? So now Abraham had the covenant on him. He had a covenant with God. Let's go back and look at that, please. If you'd like to center something right there, you can do that. I'm not sure whether I'm going to come back or not. But let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now I am asking God for a way to present these things to you, that one teaching will bump you and renew your mind, because that's all you need is a change in thinking, and it'll work for you first time. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the who? Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou what? Perfect. And I will make my what? Covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee how much? Exceedingly. All right? Now he goes on down and talk about what he's going to do for him. Let's go now over to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Now this is coming to the end of Abraham's life. Now he has the blessing on him, which is another name for the blessing is what? The covenant. Say it loud. The covenant. All right. Verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had what? Blessed Abraham what? In all things. All right. Help me out. What are all things, you think? All right. Okay. All right. Well, everything related to life and godliness. His health, his family, blessed in everything. Got it? Nothing was left out. Blessed. So when we say blessed, that the blessing of the Lord, the blessing has no S on it because it's not blessings. That was blessing. That blessing is the covenant. See? So that covenant is working on your kids, on your house, on your job, on your businesses, on your cattle, on your gold, on your silver, on your... Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, if you look at this and turn over to Genesis chapter 26, he says this, verse 1, and the famine, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, into Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down to Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be what? With you. And I'll bless you. For unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I'll perform the what? Oath, the promise that I swore unto your father. Got it? So now the blessing is on Isaac. And now what does the blessing do? It's designed to override the earth's curse. So there's the curse out here. So the blessing is designed to override that curse. So it doesn't make any difference if nobody else is prospering. When you come in and the blessing is on your life, it overrides all economic meltdowns. It overrides any recession. It overrides any depression. In other words, it's designed to make you rich and add no painful toil in your life. You better hear what I'm telling you. Let's go all the way over to Jacob's life. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 28. How am I doing so far? All right, Genesis chapter 28. As you remember, Jacob stole a blessing. He knew, and Esau ate himself out of the blessing. Look what it says. I won't read all of that. You can read it in chapter 27. Verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife for thy daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and thou that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the what? Blessing of who? Abraham. Notice he didn't say the blessing of Isaac, because it's not the blessing of Isaac. It's the blessing of Abraham. So he says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20, chapter 3 and verse 13, why don't you put it up there, please, on the board, on the thing here. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Keep going. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What he promised Abraham, he promised you. So the blessing came on you when you got saved. The same blessing came on you when you came into Christ. Now, it's on you now. The same blessing that blessed Abraham in all things. The same blessing that when there was no economy in the country, Isaac still prospered so much until they ran him out of the country. The same blessing now that's going to be on Joseph. Let's go look at it. Genesis chapter 39. Say the blessing. It's on me. Now. All right, let's look at verse 1. I don't know whether I should read all this. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him, by the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made, keep going, help me. He made how much? So everything Joseph did, he was prospering and successful. Do you hear what I'm telling you now? So now look what Potiphar does. Verse 4. And Joseph found, is that the verse I'm starting at? Yeah. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. all that Potiphar had, he put onto Joseph. Now notice what's about to happen now. Because he's putting it under Joseph, what's about to happen to the stuff? He's gonna prosper. He can't, I'm telling you, it's because you're at the company. Are you following what I'm saying? Potiphar's house was prospering because of Joseph. He made him oversee over his house, and all that he had, he put in his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him oversee over his house and all that he had, that the Lord did what? Bless who? The Egyptian's house. Keep going. For Joseph's sake. And the blessing, come on, of the Lord was upon all that he had. Come on. In the house, come on. And in the field. Are you with me here? So the blessing is on you right now. Now, what does that blessing do? It overrides the curse. So whatever is in the curse in the earth that's causing you to have painful toil, work some more overtime and so forth. I was just listening to the radio today and they come up with this. I guess the scientists or doctors have come up with the thing. They were relating people who working overtime hours and so forth and a lot of stress to heart attacks. You see, God has not planned for your body to weaken because, come on, of undue toil, come on, of anything. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, yes, we go to work, but we're supposed to whistle while we work. We're supposed to go there and just have a great time because we're working our assignment, man. All right, so now Jesus is teaching. Let's go to John chapter 18. I want to read a certain verse for you. John chapter 18. How's this coming out? Is it coming out okay? All right. I'm walking you through it like a Philadelphia lawyer. I'm just walking you straight to it. All right. John chapter 18. Have you got it? I'll just read part of this verse. Verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now you underline that, because that is a theme you got to take with you. All right? It's not of this world. So now, Jesus has come to the earth, and the one thing that Jesus is a teacher. Let's go to Matthew's gospel and chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. All right. Now this is when one of his disciples was asked by the religious leaders, "Does your master pay tribute?" Now I had to look that up. And if you'd like to look it up, it's found in Exodus chapter 30, the tribute that has to be paid to the temple for temple tax. But over here, just look at this, verse 24. And they, when they would come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. And they said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter said to him, "Of strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Then are the children free." Now there's a revelation in that. I said, there's a revelation in that. I remember Bishop Tudor Bismarck came here and he said, "I have discovered that I'm not paying any more taxes." I said, "Oh boy, he's about to go to jail now." No, but here's what he's saying. He's saying, wait a minute. This is not my expense. You got what I'm saying? He is saying, wait a minute. I can get that out of my provision. You pay the taxes, because Jesus said, you know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So you pay the taxes. But I want a reimbursement from the kingdom. Well, I'm telling you, okay, amen, amen. All right, now, another verse that I use now, because some people kind of, you know, battle with me on that. They say, well, where else did he say you can get free from taxes? I said, back there when David asked, what should I do? What am I going to get if I slay Goliath? And the first thing they said, you're going to get tax-free. Praise God. So that's two places right there, amen? Amen. Okay, but pay your taxes. Hello? Okay, let me go down on the record. Pay your taxes. All right. All right. Verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should be offended, should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give to them for me and for thee. All right. Jesus is giving us the keys to the kingdom. How to operate in a way that there's no more toil in your life, and that the covenant overrides the curse to the point that all the things that you need will be added to you. All right? So now, he is doing this for the disciples. Somebody said, well, I need Jesus here. No, wait a minute now. He left us with the book. And in this book, it'll share with you how he did it. If you look at Matthew 17, verse 24, it says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? Somebody with an amplified translation, tell me in your best voice what the word master translated as. It says teacher. Doesn't say master. It says teacher. I'm telling you that because that's what he was doing. He was teaching the laws of this new kingdom. That's what he came to do. He came to teach you how to operate in what's already there. That every need that you have will be met. Sometimes they call him rabbi. And I had one of our Jewish believers come in here and said that was rabbi. He was a senior of rabbi. And he said it meant teacher. He was a teacher. So I'm saying, notice here, he always was busy teaching. Because the kingdom operates like any other kingdom, by laws. And it operates by laws that no one can change. Now, I want to show you this now. Turn to Mark chapter 6 and then Daniel chapter 2. Mark chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 2. Let's go to Mark chapter 6, please, and just stop there. Just hold up there for a minute. Let me know when you get to Mark chapter 6. All right? Don't go any further than that. All right? Look at verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kinfolk and in his own house. And he could there do no what? Mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk. Somebody said, with minor ailments like a headache, and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. And he went about their villages, what? Teaching. He went about teaching. Now, he was teaching something about the kingdom that he came from. And he was teaching them how to operate in this kingdom. Because the miracles that they saw were miracles to them. But in the supernatural, they're just the work of God. Man, I want you to see this. You see, once you say something is a miracle, whoa, that's a miracle. The thing of it is what you think is that this is something that the sovereign God just did, that he just picked that person out and did that, and that's why that happened. And boy, we may not see that no more until 2018. But my point to you is no. This works by laws. You didn't see Jesus heal everybody. There were places that he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. But then there were places where he crossed over everybody and got to this man who was 38 years sitting by this pool. And he saw that he had faith to be healed because he was looking for faith. Because faith is the law that's got to be there for this thing to manifest. And it'll manifest every time. Not one time. A law says it'll work for anybody, anytime who meets the biblical requirements. Say amen to this. All those people pushing on him and nobody got anything except this one lady who said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be what? Whole. And she touched his clothes, virtue flow, drove the sickness out of her body, and then she sat down, testified, I know by 3 hours, and then she said, daughter, go thy way, thy what? Faith made thee whole. Not I made you whole, God made you whole. He made you whole from the foundation of the world. All you needed to do now is get the law and tap into it. Folks, you are rich. You have inherited it all. The whole estate is yours. You need to get a hold of the law so you can tap into it and it'll be added to you. Let me tell you something. It's right there for you right now. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, let me know when you get there. I said Daniel chapter 2, and that's not the right one. Daniel chapter 6, please. I'm almost done. Daniel chapter 6. Whew, man, that took some energy here to get that out. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. This is when Daniel was being promoted. And he was being promoted in a kingdom called the Medo-Persian kingdom. The king over that kingdom was King Darius. The Medo-Persian kingdom is a kingdom that came and took control from the Babylonian kingdom. If you remember in Daniel chapter 2, there was a man. The king had a dream and he said he couldn't interpret the dream, so he called Daniel. And Daniel said, here's what you dream. You dreamed about a statue. And it was a man who had a head of gold, Babylon, who had breasts and arms of silver, Medo-Persian, who had a belly and thighs of brass, or however it was. And then he had iron and clay for his legs and feet. And he said that this was an image who stood up until a mountain hewed out without hands hit this image on the feet and everything shattered. Now, that image represented the various kingdoms that are going to be in existence before the last kingdom called the kingdom of God. Got it? And it's going to shatter every other kingdom. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God. That's Revelation. All right? Now, my point to you is the second kingdom is the Medo-Persian kingdom. Every one of those kingdoms is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. And the second kingdom is Medo-Persian. And let me show you what happened. They schemed and made the king sign a law against Daniel about you can't pray except to him or another god. And Daniel refused that. But look what it says in verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which what? Underline that, altereth not. The laws of the kingdom altereth not. They will not change for anybody. Folks probably have died trying to wait on that law to change. The law of sowing and reaping will never change. Got it? And you can work it anytime because it's a law. And you think that something won't come back if you do give it, then you don't understand what a law is. Now, understand who your teacher is today. Go to John chapter 14, please. How we doing? We doing okay? John chapter 14. Let me know when you get there, please. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another, what? Comforter. What does it say in the Amplified? Advocate, keep going. Counselor, keep going. Helper, come on. See, the Holy Spirit has come now to take Jesus's place to teach you how to work the laws of the kingdom. See, he's come now. Say that now. He'll tell you what to sow, watch this, how to grow, and how to know. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just thought I'd put that in there. But look what it says now in John chapter 14, and look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the who? Holy Ghost. When the Father, I can't read. Who the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Teach you, come on, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Keep going, whatsoever. I said, he's your teacher. See, the world can't get this. Remember, he said the world can't receive the Holy Ghost. Got it? Now, when he starts teaching you, be aware that he's teaching you how to operate from another kingdom, not this one. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Got it? So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to read one verse. I mean, I could read a lot, but we got to wrap it up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Got it? Look what it says here in verse 14. No, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the who? Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this is the person who's either unspiritual, unsaved, or just saved and so carnal that you just can't believe it. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not, keep going, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, keep going, because they are spiritually discerned. So what am I telling you? Is that now you must get comfortable with the Spirit of God teaching you, because He's going to uncover mysteries for you. And when He uncovers this thing, you're going to have to get comfortable with foolish thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Are you following what I'm saying? Because He's going to come from a place that is going to sound foolish to you, because you and I had been programmed by an old system, and in the old system, that program tied us to our ability to make something happen. Not so in the new system. The new system has tied us to God's provision and God's ability to make it happen for us. No toil. I said no toil. So Jesus, when He told him to go fishing and so forth, who was telling him that? The Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, hey, give me 2 fish and 5 loaves, who was telling him that? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here to teach you the whole way around that system so that you won't ever toil again in your life. You will never suffer any lack, any time. It looks like you're running out. Even your family are running out. The Holy Ghost will tell you, do this, and all you got to do is do it. Say amen to that. You don't sit up all night, I believe I receive. Just do what He tells you, because He'll tell you what to give and where to collect the harvest. Say amen to that, and won't miss a beat. Now notice what that's doing. It's getting you back up there where you're walking and talking with God. Does this make sense to you here? Let's go one more place. Let's go back to Mark chapter 6, please. Was this worth taking some time out to do this? Now, I got some other things, but we're not going to share those tonight. But I wanted to teach on dominion over time. But all right, let's just look at this here. Because see, a lot of folk waiting on stuff. I'm telling you now, this thing is awesome. You know what I mean? All right. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. Let's start there. All right. Okay, now, the verse 35 says, and when the day was now far spent, His disciples came to Him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and to the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Okay? They have no food. And He answered and said to them, you feed them. Give you them to eat. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? All right. Now, what did they do? They immediately, in their minds, went to that old, slow system of labor. Because they said 200 penny worth of bread. That's 8 months' wages. So, immediately, they went to a system, that old system that is not old, it's also slow. Now, if they had worked 8 months and then brought bread out there, what would have happened to them people by that time? They'd have been dead as a doornail. Now, my point to you is some folks' visions have died because they've tried to bring it to pass with the old system. God gave you the vision, and He's given you the provision. And sometimes trying to wait on provision to come through your own toil and effort, you either run out of time or run out of energy or just run out. Got it? Never supposed to wait that long. Why? Because we override time. That once you deal it with God, the moment you deal it, over in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, he said, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. The moment you put it in the ground, it's coming up. Say amen to this. Over there, Jesus went to the graveside of Lazarus, and the Bible says first, when they told him, said, Lazarus is sick. Jesus stayed there two more days. Why? Because time didn't tell him what to do. And then next thing you know, he went over there and they said, oh, if you'd been here sooner, my brother would not have died. Here's what Jesus said. He said, wait a minute, your brother shall rise again. She said immediately, oh, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection and the last day. Jesus said, no, wait a minute. I am the resurrection. Meaning that he was not only in the first and the beginning and the Alpha, he is the Omega. He is the one who came from the resurrection back to her time to raise this man up. I'm telling you, the Word of God is the same as Jesus, and if you put it in your life, whatever's in your life that need to be raised up, it'll raise it up, and it'll do it overnight. It'll do it right now. I'm telling you, that bank was taking so long, and I just went to God. I said, God, what is taking that bank so long? And I noticed he didn't answer that until I asked that. He said, it's not that me taking it a long time. And where I got a tip off is when Tudor Bismarck came that time, Bishop Bismarck. He said, he was in the middle of his sermon, bless God, that bank should have been open by now. That's what he said. I said, whoa, that was God. So I went to God, and God said, it's not me doing it. He said, you never believe you received when you prayed. That's when I got a revelation of Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, just believe you receive. When? Right there when you believe. And you shall have them. Say amen. I believed, I received. The next thing I know, I got a call from Reverend Meeks and so on. He said, Doc, call me at home. I'm sitting there just right at my desk. The phone ring. I say, hey, Doc, how you doing? He said, listen, what about that bank, man? I said, well, we've tried to capitalize several times, and we ran out of time, and they want us to start over again. He said, listen, let me ask you, can you be on my program? I said, okay. I said, when? He said, day after tomorrow. I said, day after tomorrow, I got to be in Connecticut or wherever. He said, well, how about if we just tape it tomorrow? And he said, you talk about that bank. And I said, okay. I came there, we taped it, talked about the bank. He aired it the next night, floods of calls to the point that paid the whole thing off. Are you following what I'm saying? But it wasn't until I got in line with the Lord. See, I'm doing an old slow process that's taking time so much till I'm running out of time. But God never intended for your vision not to come to pass. He never intended for you to run out of time. Well, when we use that old slow curse-based system, we can run out of time. But when you jump up and understand, you got to receive a foolish thought from God and let God speak to you. The Holy Ghost will show you where you went wrong, where you didn't make the right turn. He won't come down on you about it. It'll quicken in your spirit, and you just get in line with the Holy Ghost and watch that thing work with no toil. I done toiled for 7 years, and he took away the toil in 2 months. But I had to ask him. He did not volunteer that answer. You follow what I'm saying? So what did they come up with? Immediately, they went back to an old, slow, curse-based system and said, hey, we can work and get 8 months' wages. By the time they got back, the folks would be dead. He said, listen to the Holy Ghost now. He said, they said, there's a lad here with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He said, give me that. Holy Ghost will walk you right through it. All you need in the kingdom is a piece of seed. And it will meet 20,000, 30,000 people need. Say amen. Did this mean something to you?
Now, the last thing.
These are laws. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of the law of the spirit of life. It makes you free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death is still there. All right, let me give you the last example. The laws are out there now, but they're waiting on you to discover it. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, and he's your guide, your counselor, your helper. I like that helper because a guy explained that one time. He said, if you're up on a ladder painting a house and you've forgotten one of the buckets of paint and you say, hey, give me that bucket down there. Holy Ghost will hand you that bucket up there so you can finish your job. Years ago, going from New York to California, going covered wagon. How long did it take? A year. Year. Pretty soon, here come the railroad. Shorten my time a little bit. Come on now. I wasn't quite as beat up as I was in that covered wagon. And then next thing you know, here comes an automobile. Come on now. And then here comes an aeroplane. And where it would take me a year, now it would take me 4 hours. And watch this, I can get off just as fresh as I was. Give the Lord a hand. With that note, it's time for you to give. Now give the Lord a praise for it. Come on, he loves a cheerful giver. Give him a praise for it. Because you're tapping into a law right now. Praise God. Amen. Brother Huntley, come on down.